Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Hour two of the Eric Ainge Show coming at you live from the Budweiser Studios of Cumulus Broadcasting. Brian Rice, myself, Eric Ainge, will be here all morning, early afternoon long. Do you call us? We're not morning show. We're midday. Midday.
Midday.
Yeah.
Solidly midday.
Anyway, we're on from 9 a.m. Eastern to noon Eastern, and that's not going to change anytime soon, so appreciate everybody coming. Yeah, anyway, that'll be fun when we get to share that. Down. That will be fun when
that's
we get
right.
to share that.
That's right. 656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Ainge Show to talk about anything that happened this weekend in the world of sports. But it's time to catch you up on some of that because it's time for the two-minute drill.
Every Monday, we do the two-minute drill. Catch you up on everything you missed thanks to madeforyoullc.com. That's the website. Made, the number four, the letter U, llc.com. If you want to come home to a clean home, if you've had kids home and you're just wanting that clean house, they do a phenomenal job there. They also have a really cool program that they do for people, house cleanings for people with cancer that can't clean their own home. They're part of a network that comes in and cleans the house for free to the person that has cancer. You know, so if you know someone you want to nominate to get that service, MAID, the number four, the letter U, llc.com. And if you just want a cleaner house, man, they're going to sweep you off your feet. That's your tagline. We have them to our house all the time, and they do a phenomenal job. Made4ULLC.com.
A Tennessee baseball team played a close game with Western Illinois on Friday, won 3-0. The next 2 days were not close. Saturday, 19-0. Yesterday, Tennessee finally allowed a run, but the final was 23-4.
Oh, my gosh.
The most runs, 45 total. The most runs scored by Tennessee over the course of a three-game series since March 11th through 13th, 2005. You know what happened in 2005, Eric? They went to the College World Series.
Yeah, and wasn't last year the first 40-win season since 2005?
Yes.
A lot of since 2005s.
Off to a good start. Vols return to action tomorrow at Lindsey Nelson Stadium against Charlotte at 4 o'clock before they then ship off to Round Rock, Texas. Play Texas Tech
Round Rock.
Texas Tech Friday night, Houston Saturday, and Stanford on Sunday. Should be a fun weekend for the Vols coming up this coming weekend. Lady Vols softball down in Puerto Vallarta.
Hey, real quick, you're going to be gone probably Thursday, definitely Friday. This
yep.
with softball, correct?
Yeah, because we have Tampa this weekend. But this past weekend, it was a 2-0 loss to the Mexican national team on Thursday. That was a tight game, but Tennessee started a lot of freshmen in that one. We're going to get either Ralph or Karen Weekly on a little later on this week to talk about last weekend and this coming weekend. I hope to have them on Mondays for most of the season, but with the long travel day back from Mexico yesterday, I wanted to give
first
them some
part,
time to
first
breathe.
First part, you know Ralph's up yeah. and listening to the show.
Probably
he always so. Does. You know,
but
come
wanted
on.
To give him, wanted to give him some time to breathe, so we'll have him on a little later in the week before we head off to Tampa.
That'll work.
But a 6-4 win over Colorado State Thursday afternoon.
Are they any good? Pac-12 team?
Mountain West.
It's Colorado that's
Colorado,
in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Colorado State, 6-4 win. Colorado State's not bad. Utah, Pac-12 team, very good. They were terrible last season. Much, much better this year. Already a couple top 25 wins. Tennessee beats them 8-5. Took it on the chin against 5th-ranked Texas, though, 11-0. A common thread between that run rule loss and the run rule loss to another top 5 team, Arizona, last week. Errors in one big inning, and it started to get away from them. The young players on this team are going to have to understand that if you make a mistake, you can't let it become three, because that's what's happened in two big innings this year, and both of those big innings have led to their two losses. And then rebounded with a win over California Baptist on Saturday, 5-2, the final there as they closed out the Puerto Vallarta College Challenge. Now, Tennessee. gets on the airplane on Thursday. They will play Florida International Friday at 11:30. And then UCF Friday, 30 minutes following that one. UCF again Saturday morning. USF, the homestanding team, Saturday afternoon. And then we'll close out Sunday morning with another game against USF down at USF Stadium in Tampa. And that's a two-minute drill. It's brought to you by Made For You.
MAID, the number four, the letter U, LLC.com. If you want to give us a call, 656-9900.
So Tennessee baseball this weekend, off to a great start. It's going to be a fun spring for those guys, it appears. Now, you didn't play a great team this weekend, but...
Do you have the top 25 for college baseball?
Not pulled up, but pulled I can...
Can you hook me up with that?
Yeah.
Because I'm always curious. We did this with softball and baseball to start last year. We'll do baseball first. In the top 25, I'm curious to see how many SEC teams there are.
According to D1 Baseball...
That's where I usually look.
You have Florida at number two, Vanderbilt at number four, Georgia at number five, Arkansas's number seven, Auburn's number eight, Mississippi State is 10, LSU's 11, Ole Miss is 17, Texas A&M's 20. That's it. So that's nine. Seven of those are in the top
11. Seven of the country's top 11 teams are in the SEC.
Yeah.
Nine of the teams in the SEC are in the top 25. And here's the deal. As excited as we are about Tennessee baseball, the best they could be in the conference sitting right now would be 10th. 10th best. Now, we're coming off a few years ago of being the 13th or 14th best team.
Yeah.
In the SEC. So this is year three under Tony Vitello, correct?
Yeah.
In year three, coming off a 40-win season with some good recruits and a lot of good contributors coming back with a year of development. Because, again, we talked about good coaches, and good coaches, every year you're not just getting the player you had the year before and their production. You're getting that player a year better. Every one of them ought to get better every single year that they're in college. What's a realistic expectation for this Tennessee baseball team? Because to me, the amount of total wins is less. It's less important than fighting to get up into that upper echelon. I mean, you have to be a top 11. Seven of the top 11 teams in the country are in the SEC. That is insane. Florida, Vandy, Georgia, Arkansas, Auburn, Mississippi State, and LSU.
They want to combine 21-4 this weekend. Vanderbilt, the only team with a losing record. They were 1-2. They were previously number two in the country, fell to number four.
A whopping number four. Aren't they coming off a national championship? Yeah.
Yes, they are. They are Vanderbilt's good team.
And they don't have softball, correct?
They do not.
All right, give me softball then. Pull up that top 25 for the Lady Vols softball. I know they'll be in it. And I know we looked at their schedule in the first week. Remember, we went through each one. I mean, they played like half of their games they play in this non-conference start of the year are against really good ranked teams.
Softball poll does not update until Tuesday. So this is last week's. This is after week one. You had LSU at 7, Florida's 8, Alabama's 9, Kentucky's 10, Tennessee's 12, Georgia 15, South Carolina 18, Missouri 19, though they're ineligible for the postseason. And Arkansas is 24. So that is also nine of the top 25. Last week, among those receiving votes, to extrapolate it out, SEC teams were also 28 and 29. All 13 teams have made the NCAA tournament the last 2 years. Because of Missouri's ineligibility this year, it will not happen for a third straight year. But still, you're looking at 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15, 18, 19, 24.
Aye, aye, aye.
So it's very difficult. And among those, Tennessee will play number 7 LSU, three-game series on the road, Florida and Alabama at home, 10th-ranked Kentucky on the road, skip Georgia this year, thankfully, South Carolina at home, Missouri at home, Arkansas on the road. Just doesn't get easy.
No, it doesn't. But that's good. I mean, that
that's
helps
what makes
me,
it fun.
Yeah, that helps me kind of gauge my...
I misspoke. No Missouri on the schedule this year. I'm sorry. Ole Miss, not Missouri.
Still, though, I mean, that's, you know, Tennessee being at best the 10th best team in the SEC in baseball. Tennessee, 1, 2, 3, 4. Tennessee's currently fifth best in women's softball. The difference is to be the fifth best team. This is the equivalent of SEC football recruiting. Now, I would imagine you would see similarities in SEC baseball recruiting.
Yeah. But Tennessee's making some inroads, and I think the Vols will have some upward mobility in the SEC once conference play begins. I don't think they'll be the 10th best team by the midpoint of the season or by the end of the season, but that's where they start.
And again, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. But
it's also a reflection of how good the rest of the conference is, too.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
All right, staying on baseball when we come back. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, defended the non-punishment of the Astros, and it has not gone over well.
And there's a lot of, I think, misconception or just a lack of knowledge or understanding when it comes to why this is such a big deal. We're going to give a few examples of what the equivalent of this Astros sign-stealing saga would be in other sports when we get back as well.
It's the Arcane Show, FM 99.1, the sports animal.
Welcome back to the Arcane Show on the sports animal. That's FM 99.1, the sports animal, online at 991thesportsanimal.com. Major League Baseball's, more specifically, the commissioner and the Houston Astros have taken a few black eyes. I'm going to give a real quick anecdotal story.
Okay.
Here. I'm going to compare it, and then I want you to go in on everything that Manfred's been having to say. And I heard a lot of people in the starting lineup calling in this morning saying, I just don't see what the big deal is. The goal is to steal signs anyway. Your goal is to steal signs. So why is it such a big deal that they just went about it a different way? If you can steal signs the right way, it's a huge advantage for your team, and it's a part of every sport, baseball, softball. That's why you have so many, football, basketball, for crying out loud. If you had a way to figure out what plays they were going to run, and basketball, you have to yell, and you have to just change up what you're doing and out-execute people.
Yeah.
A lot of it's audio, but a lot of it's visual as well. This would be the equivalent. The Houston Astros... This would be the equivalent of us finding out that at every LSU home game this past season, the LSU Tigers had a live feed hack into the opposing team's offense and defensive coordinator headsets calling plays.
Yeah.
And having the person listening to the other team's OC, like when you're on defense, the other team's OC's calling plays and you're listening, signaling run or pass to the defense on every play.
Right.
That's the equivalent of getting a fastball off speed signal in baseball. And it's consistent, and it'd be like having your guy on the sideline listening to the other team's DC, listening to play calls, yelling to the offense, here comes a blitz or here comes the drop. They're blitzing. If you could have that information, God, you'd torch people. If you're sitting fastball and you're not guessing, you know it's coming, that's batting practice. It's the worst, most egregious cheating scandal that I think I've ever seen. It's comparable to Spygate, but it's even worse in my opinion.
Yu Darvish was the GOAT of the World Series against the Astros, the pitcher. He had a 21.6 ERA over his two games in the World Series, and then the Dodgers elected to not re-sign him in the offseason. Now, he did get a good contract from the Cubs, but he was asked about it. He said this: they cheat. I think they shouldn't talk right now. Some people lost their jobs. They have to show more apologies. I don't feel anything from those guys. Was I tipping pitches or were they stealing? They told...
Again, this is over a two-year period, the 2017 and 18
but he's talking seasons. About specifically the World Series, where he, one of the best pitchers in baseball that year, was completely ineffective against them. They knew what was coming.
They know what's coming, man. They're professionals, too. That's the thing. Like, I remember, again, I'll quickly tell my... In football, I picked a signal, the New England Patriots, anytime we would go from a 2x2 set to a 3x1 set, formationally in 12 personnel, whenever we would do that, the free safety and the strong safety would make a call with their fist in the air, and they would rock down to the trip side. It happened a few times in a row in the game, and so I went to our offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer, and I said, hey, anytime in 12 personnel, I've waited like a quarter and a half, and it hasn't. It's been true every time. When we go 2x2 to 3x1, they rock the safety down strong, and you can see them, they signal it to each other. We dialed one up, and it was the best offensive play we had all day long. Why? Because we knew what they were going to do.
Right.
If I had got that information from video evidence that someone then called down to me or Brian Schottenheimer and told, then that would be the most dirtball cheating, ridiculous way to have success ever. And I'm glad that would never happen ever.
Right.
This would be the equivalent in the NFL of the other team having the hacking the play call to quarterback audio.
Yeah.
And the linebacker on the field can hear the play call being called in to the other team's quarterback. That's what this is. In baseball, you only have so much information. Yeah, you don't know when they're going to try to sack bunt. You don't know when they're going to try to steal second.
But you know how to play the odds. You can play those odds.
You prepare for those in every one of those situational baseball circumstances. What you don't know is on every time the ball is delivered from mound to catcher, you don't know what pitch is coming. You can play percentages. You can try to find little things. You can watch film after the fact. You know what? You can go study film of a blitzing linebacker and see if he tips when he's actually coming versus when he's dropping. That's what differentiates people that are good at sports and not. You can watch a pitcher, the pitcher you named?
Yu Darvish.
And you can watch and see if you can pick it up on film by watching the entire game broadcast after the game is over. Watching the entire in-game broadcast and saying, he's tipping his hand. You know what? If that's happening on the TV copy and someone up in your administration is watching the TV copy going, kind of like Gary Danielson did with Jim Chaney, Derek Dooley way back in the day. Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. Every time the running back is a foot deep, we run the ball, and Gary Danielson got on there and just went run, 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 run. Like, I know the staff knew that because they do their own tendencies, but like if someone saw that and then had the ability to get in touch with this, that wouldn't even bother me as much. Because you're finding a tip, and then you're trying to exploit the tip. The active, and this wouldn't even have been as like if they would have been filming the signals, and then after the game, going through and watching and trying to determine what they thought was what, that's still not legal to do. But that would be different than if they filmed, were live filming the signals and then actively developed a way to get the information to the batter at the plate immediately. Yeah. That's not okay. You can't do that in any sport. I mean, is this exclusive to the Astros?
Well,
as getting information to the batter during the game,
that's the question. Investigations are ongoing, and Manfred said this weekend that the investigation into the Red Sox and what they did during their World Series season, when they were managed by Alex Cora, who was one of the quote unquote masterminds on this. But Manfred responded to people who have criticized that players should have been punished.
Do you think they should have?
Absolutely.
Me too.
Quote, I understand. I understand people's desires to have the players pay a price for what went on here. I think if you watch the players, watch their faces when they have to deal with this issue publicly, they have paid a price. What do you think about that?
No, they haven't. They get to keep all their rings. They get to keep all their money. They don't have to miss any future games or future money. Their reputation is tarnished.
Continuing the quote, to think they're skipping down the road into spring training happy, that's a mischaracterization of where we are.
I watched the apologies. To say that they're not skipping into...
They might as well have gestured at their crotches status.
Yeah, they may have well just done the Baker Mayfield and said, we don't care what you think.
Having said that, continuing the quote, the desire to have actual discipline imposed on them, I understand it, and in a perfect world it would have happened. You have the power to do that. We ended up where we ended up in pursuit of really, I think, the most important goal of getting the facts and getting them out there for people to know. That's just...
I need to go in on Rob Manfred. I need to go in on Rob Manfred.
Yeah.
I do not understand how he can honestly say the things he's saying. Did he play?
No.
Is he just like a career administrator?
Yeah. Quote, the idea of an asterisk or asking for a piece of metal back seems like a futile act. People will always know that something was different about the 2017 season. Whether we made that decision right or wrong, we undertook a thorough investigation and had the intestinal fortitude to share the results of that investigation, even when those results were not pretty.
Like, I understand people that get mad. I'm going to do it when we get back. I'm going to do it when we get back.
All right. 656-9900 if you want to join us. More of the Eric Haines Show's next. FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
New, very underrated Nirvana song right here. Welcome back to the Eric Haines Show on the Sports Animal, FM 99.1. Coors Light Climb to the Championship is it's happening, Brian.
Yeah, thanks to our friends at Cherokee Distributing. Coors Light Climb to the Championship will take caller number 5 right now at 656-WINS. 656-WINS will be qualified to win 2 tickets to the Men's Basketball Championship Tournament in Nashville. All sessions and $500 spending cash to help make your trip a little better. It's caller number 5 right now at 656-WINS. Listen, win. That's what happens. All right, so the Astros are not, they're not going to ban any of the players. They're not even going to punish any of the players.
No punishment, zero.
Dusty Baker came out last week and said, well, I don't want them to be hitting our players, and encouraged Major League Baseball to go ahead and issue a directive that if a player is beaned, there will be punishment for the player ejected.
Basically, thoughts. If you get caught throwing at an Astros player, we'll call it early in the season, because if it's 3/4 of the way through the year and you lose a starting pitcher because he lets a splitter go and it gets away from him and hits a guy in the leg, we're talking upper middle back from butt cheek to the base of your neck, dead in the center of your body, where no major league pitcher ever misses that bat. Right? We can all agree on that.
Yep.
Here's the problem. If a pitcher gets tossed for throwing at an Astro, which they're all going to want to do, because you don't have to be a baseball purist or traditionalist to not like guys that are blatantly cheating the game.
Right.
They're all going to want to do it. If they got tossed and ejected or suspended, even for a game, that's one game longer than any Astro is going to get. That's what makes this egregious. This is the worst cheating scandal that you've ever had in baseball. This isn't Pete Rose gambling on even his own team to win. It's not like Pete Rose was shaving points trying to lose games. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
this isn't Pete Rose gambling. This isn't steroids. In steroids, you had 30 baseball teams, every one of which had players, some more than others, some franchise to franchise. Every franchise had players on steroids. It wasn't the best players on every team, but it was a lot of them. All 30. The reason that Major League Baseball players didn't freak out about that is because the performance-enhancing drug circumstance and situation has always been and will always be a thing. In the 80s, they all took speed. Greenies, they called them. But there were however many teams there were in the 80s. I don't know if it was 30, but call it 30. Every team in Major League Baseball had guys at the big boy level that took speed. Remember when Ted Williams used to say that he could see the laces on the ball? Well, of course you can when you're high on Adderall, speed, yeah. Ritalin, whatever you want to call it. Of course. So there's always been an element of guys looking for ways to push the limits, to get themselves an advantage. I struggle with this because in those circumstances, you had guys miss a lot of time. Reputations tarnished, and it's kept some of them out of the Hall of Fame. And this, with what happened in the Astros, is 1 million times more egregious and premeditated and dirty. And there was one franchise that did this. There were 29 other ones that didn't. Now, were there other people doing other things that were wrong? Maybe we'll find out. I don't know. But there was not a video with buzzers to signal signal the pitch coming in anywhere else. When one franchise does it, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
You need to, they should have penalized the Astros. You know, my only thinking behind this is that maybe Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball knew about this and they kept it quiet for a long time because they hoped it would never come out, because it really is a stain on their sport, their struggling sport that they're constantly trying to keep up, to the point where Rob Manfred himself is talking about changing rules that don't need to be changed and doing things to the game that they don't need to do to the game to make it more popular and to get more eyes on it and to get more butts in the seats and more memorabilia purchased. I have a really hard time with them not suspending any of the players. There's got managers that lost their jobs.
Well, and then Manfred yesterday, after a memo came out, as reported by the Wall Street Journal's Jared Diamond, he obtained a copy of a memo Manfred sent to Astros general manager Jeff Lownow, which detailed Major League Baseball's discovery of the sign-stealing algorithm called Codebreaker. The system was referred to as, quote, dark arts in communications between front office staff and the GM, showing that he was indeed aware of it, even if he was not aware of the exact details.
By the way, real quick, I wasn't implying Ted Williams took speed.
No,
but, okay? I was just saying there's been things that have happened all the way predating even the 80s in baseball. Yeah. It's a thing with everybody. I was just using an example.
With reporters in Florida on Sunday afternoon, Manfred showed that the criticism bothered him because he directed snark directly at the reporter for reporting it. Looked at him and said, you know, congratulations. You got a hold of a private letter that I sent a club official. Nice reporting on your part.
I mean, that's implying that wasn't for him to see. So why are we even talking about that? Well, like, it doesn't matter. We saw it.
Yeah.
That is good reporting, actually. I mean, I believe that's good reporting.
It is. That's the point of it, is that's what he's supposed to do.
Like, again, the reason I sound so upset about this is because I believe that the equivalent in other sports, I use the examples of football, be like the NFL linebacker having access to the audio being given to the other team's quarterback. It's that same caliber of an advantage in the sport. You can steal signs legally, and the teams that are really good at it, yeah, they have some extra success. It's an art. It's a part of the game. It's just, it is what it is. That'll always be part of it. That's why you don't just put a one for fastball and a two for curveball. Four fingers wiggling for changeup. It's not high school, and even in high school you can't do that. I bet Karen signaling pitches in, she still does that, right?
They do. They have a number wristband system that's
constantly changing.
It changes every game.
Constantly changing.
And it changes every time the pitcher changes too. The problem that I have with this is Manfred went after the reporter yesterday with some snark. And then the memo that was obtained showed that they had not been completely forthcoming with the whole investigation.
That's what I'm saying. I think the reason the Astros players aren't getting suspended and the reason that the limited managers stuff is what it is because I think Major League Baseball holds some responsibility in not this all not happening way sooner and hoping it would die. And if you get info that someone's doing something terrible and you hope that it dies and you don't have to, then you're implicated as well. You're guilty as well.
Let's talk to Chris. Chris, welcome into the Eric Haines Show.
Hey, I appreciate it. A while ago when Eric was talking about the commish being an administrator, I kind of know what he's talking about there. With him, how he's going about this and the punishments and everything, when you got stuff like this going on, which I'm sure there is more than baseball, and if they put down that hammer, taking away this, that, and the other, I think that's when dirty laundry is going to start coming out and more whistleblowers. Well, this person here cheated back when, and this person here cheated. We kind of heard something about that with La Russa back in, with the White Sox back in the day. They're doing it back in the 80s. And I think by doing this, how they're handling that they've kind of set the point from here on forward. If it happens again, then maybe you can put down a hammer. But with this stuff, if they come out and they give out these punishments of, take away the title, postseason ban, and then you get more stuff of what happened 2-3 years ago whenever this team here did something like that. I mean, I think they know what was going on. But when you start putting down the hammer on something like that, I think there's going to be a lot of dirty laundry that's going to be keeping on coming out.
Which
and then what do you do about
the
team last year?
Which would be horrible for the game.
And I know, and I've been an administrator, when you said, him being an administrator, and whenever I hear him talk, that's the kind of stuff that administrators, commissioners get paid to do to protect whatever they're running, which what he's doing, because I'm sure if this comes out, that if they would put that down, it would just be it would go on forever.
I mean,
it would just continuously go on forever.
I don't disagree that by him doing that may be what happens, but I ultimately think that he's being bad for baseball by not getting to that point. If you've had a product, something that's been happening that long for that long, and you don't do everything in your power to stop it. We don't know what's told directly to all of the owners in baseball. We don't know exactly what's being said. But the problem I have with Chris, with what he's done publicly and what the Astros have done, is they've made it seem like this really is not that big of a deal. It's just not. And then maybe he's doing that for your reason, Chris, because he's saying, if I make it as big a deal as we all think it is, then baseball is going to plummet and people are going to hate it and they're going to be out on it. And I understand that side of it, but he needs to have made it to where if you do ever do it again or anything like it again, they all better, it better be a hammer dropping and they better know. And again, by not suspending these guys,
how do you do it next time?
It'll still come out.
Yeah. How do you do it next time? And you say, well, okay, there were no consequences for them, but now there are consequences for you. That team's going, brother, you didn't do anything to the Astros.
Which is why I don't think it'll change a darn thing and why the Astros look so smug.
Yeah, because they know
nothing happened.
The Astros
never talked publicly, and Rob Manfred wasn't doing exclusives where he's talking about all this. This would be a PR situation, and I'll bet Chris would agree with this, Brian, but this is one you just let everyone get mad at and you don't fuel the fire.
Yeah.
Because people would eventually forget. We forget everything within a week.
Yeah. Chris, we appreciate it. We've got to get out for this segment. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show continues next on the Sports Animal.
Welcome back into the EA Show on the Sports Animal. Happy President's Day to everybody out there. 656-9900 if you want to join us here on the EA Show. Taking you to noon until Sports 180 with Josh and Heather take over.
Let's talk to Terry. Terry, welcome into the Eric Ainge Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man.
Hey, coming from a guy that's been around baseball all my life, signals, when a coach gives a signal to a batter or a runner, a catcher to a pitcher, a coach to the catcher, then to the pitcher, there's a reason that we have signals for that so that you don't know what's coming. That's part of the game. And, you know, every team has a guy that can – that knows when a pitcher's tipping something, you know, what kind of tendency they have. Everybody has that quirky guy that can pick up on signals. That's different than electronically signaling to a batter real time what's coming. And all of pitchers, every pitcher works a tremendous amount of effort on arm slots, spin rotation, everything they can do to make every pitch look identical so that you can't tell the difference in a changeup or a fastball. If you give these guys, these caliber hitters, the pitch that's coming, and you add location to that, that's going to change your batting average probably 100 points per batter. And if you give location, I mean, that's a significant advantage. No wonder they won the World Series, you know? I mean, that's
exactly.
And that's much different than picking up a tip.
Every pitcher I've heard interviewed in this whole deal has said that they would much rather face somebody on steroids than somebody who knows what pitch is coming.
Yeah,
that's not just close.
But they've already eliminated the steroids, but they just made up for it by juicing the baseballs.
No.
You know, if you're a pitcher right now in Major League Baseball, you're going, the strike zone's getting smaller, the baseballs are getting juiced up, and now we have a team doing this. Like, of course they're having success. Now, they're good players. You know, it's not like they only got good for 1 year. A lot of those guys are career really good players. But if you give to your point, Terry, if you give a really good player any kind of info like that, especially real-time signal stealing with electronics, then of course they're going to kill it.
And in batting practice, you typically will go through your fastball pitch count. You know, you'll get 10 fastballs, then you get 10 curveballs, then you get 10 changeups, then you get 10 on the inside, 10 on the outside. That's how you do batting practice. So I heard you say earlier, when you know what's coming, it is batting practice.
It is.
So you do have, and when you get location, you have the opportunity to open your hips a little earlier, pull your hands through a little bit quicker, because you know where the pitch is coming. And major league pitchers are so consistent that they are going to put it right where you want it. Now, in high school, you get tips, you know, the catcher sets up too early outside. They don't always hit their spot. But major league pitchers are going to put it where it's supposed to be. And if they know where it's coming and what's coming, oh, it's Katie bar the door.
Yep. Your only hope at that point is to be a pitcher that has some stuff that's just so nasty that even if they know it's coming, they can't. But, like, can you imagine if Greg Maddux would have been videoing stealing him? He would have been legitimately batting practice. He was like upper 80s right. at its fastest, and all he had was his ability to paint the corners, hit spots, and change up which pitches were being thrown, and he could throw them all for strikes. So you never really knew what was coming. It would have eliminated a multi winning Cy Young Award winning Hall of Fame pitcher's career if they would have had stuff like this going on.
He'd have been a high school baseball coach within 2 years.
Exactly.
Greg Maddux would have.
Seriously, and instead he's one of the best that's ever done it.
Terry, we appreciate it.
Yep.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
656-9900, hour number 3 of the Eric Ainge Show starts with the Hoops Report next on the Sports Animal.